This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm writing down your names. I'm like Trump. I'm keeping score.
Scoreboard.
I'm scoreboarding you guys who are burying the season. And you know this is not a homer show either. Never has been.
Never lost.
Never will be. So Brian, JG, Mike in Duncanville, all you guys.
He's naming names.
I'm naming names.
He's going to get blacklisted from Hop Sing, man.
Name names. All you guys burying it. I'm the one who said that they would get destroyed. I'm the one who said that they would get murdered last night. And I'm also telling you, they can be 10-6. You just need to hope that 10-6 and maybe 9-7 can get you in. 9-7 probably won't get it done, but I'm writing down your names. Of everyone burying the season.
You're relying on a lot of hope, though. What are you gonna do if you're wrong? What are you going to do if it is the season and they lose one of the next two games and we're looking at having to sweep the rest of the season to end up getting to the playoffs?
Well, then I'll say I'm wrong. It's not that difficult. But what's their record going to be at the end of the year, Roy?
9-7. Not good enough to get into the playoffs. Now, I'm
so you're gonna have
to
them...
me optimistically 9-7.
Okay,
I'm being optimistic saying 9-7.
Right, you are a hater.
We'll do it tomorrow. We'll have the playoff debate of what they're going to be.
Obviously, will they be favored in how many games?
They'll be favored against the Chargers. They'll be favored against the Redskins. They'll be favored at the Giants. I don't know about the Raiders. It depends how the Raiders play. They'll be favored against Seattle. I'm going to guess barely, or it'll be a pick 'em. Depends how Russell, if he balls out. They don't have Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman. And then hopefully Philly. Now look,
they'll be favored in every game.
And everything you guys are saying is also based on the assumption that Sean Lee and Tyron Smith are going to play every game the rest of the way, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They will be favored in every game the rest of the way, in every single game, because Philadelphia will have nothing to play for.
Let's have this fight tomorrow. Yeah. We'll have this battle tomorrow. But yes, that is with the assumption of Sean Lee and Tyron Smith, which again, a lot of things are going to have to line up. That's why I said we can get you. Can get you to 10-6, and maybe at worst 9-7.
And a preview of the fight, Roy's wrong, we win.
Mike Fisher, Cowboy Insider, at Fish Sports, after a 37-9 drubbing at the hands of Philadelphia. Good morning, Mikey.
Morning, boys.
How was the locker room?
Terrible.
Okay, because normally
I feel like we were there.
Normally it's milk toast and generic and boring. So was there a little anger, a little emotion, a little bit of disgust?
Yeah, but mostly it was just, get me out of here. And I mean that for everybody involved. Just get me out of here. Media, get me out of here. Coaches, get me out of here. Players, get me out of here. They are so embarrassed by the product that they put on the field. And, Sean, that doesn't change the numbers that you're talking about, because the numbers still say, of course, the Cowboys still have a chance to win games. Absolutely, they'll be favored in some games. And, by the way, naturally, when you put down the Cowboys for a win sometime in December, obviously you're including that Tyron Smith's playing and Sean Lee's playing and eventually Ezekiel Elliott's playing and Dan Bailey's playing. Just like if you're trying to predict the Eagles' season, you're assuming Carson Wentz is playing.
Sure.
So those aren't unfair assumptions. They're really not. But you know that recency bias term, it's really hard to wake up this morning and think everything's fine.
Well, no, everything is not fine. But let's talk about some of the reasons they lost this game before the injury updates. What are some of the things, just to name off the top of your head, Mike?
Well, it's a quarterback league, and so you start by blaming the quarterback.
Yep.
And that's part and parcel with his job. The quarterback gets all the money and gets all the attention. He gets to date the cheerleader. And then when you throw three interceptions and you make a series of really, you know, that was sophomore slump. Level decision making on the part of Dak Prescott, and you know, at some point, you know, yes, Dak Prescott was gritty and he tried to lead and he's tough and he's a strong character. but he was awful. And that would be place number one to start. I saw your note, Sean, on Star Up. And I guess you went with the punter and the defense in the first half.
No,
right?
Mike Nugent. Mike Nugent.
Yeah. The kicker. Yeah.
I went with Ryan Switzer. We went special teams. It was a Star Up special team.
Here's the thing. You can tell how bad you are when you have two Star Ups. One of them's the kicker, yes, and the other one's part-time for partly somebody. The first half defense isn't really a thing.
I know.
You'd like to give a good grade to the defense. Not say, I'll tell you one good Star Up. There was a couple minutes there when the defense didn't give up a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's how woeful everything was last night.
What about the grading on Byron Bell? How are people saying he held up?
It wasn't the disaster that last week was. We'll agree on that, right?
Exclusive.
I don't think you had you didn't have a night where you're constantly hearing his name. And I think the film will show that, he probably got some help and the Cowboys probably leaned there, blocking a little bit that way. And maybe Jason Witten stayed in a little bit. But, that was, you're just putting a finger in the dike on the Eagles because, even if you fix that, there were so many other things that were broken.
Why can't Anthony Brown catch?
Well, this goes for almost all defensive backs at almost all levels. If Anthony Brown could catch, he'd be a wide receiver. So you know how that works, right?
Yeah.
Coach throws you out there and he sees who can do what, and he wants Anthony Brown to be the running back when he's a little kid or the wide receiver. Then he realizes, well, he's terrific, and we're not just picking on him. Why isn't Orlando Scandrick a receiver? Well, because he doesn't catch the ball. Like
why isn't Terrence Williams a receiver?
Why doesn't he play safety?
Yeah.
Using the same logic. Yeah, I get you. I really do.
Mike Fisher, Cowboys insider at Fish Sports. So, look, I like that you have never pretended to be, Brian Broaddus, even though you pretend to be Walter Cronkite. But you haven't pretended to be Broaddus. So you're not going to get into, pretending to figure out and decipher halftime adjustments and are they going to pull the guard three quarters of the time in the third quarter. But at some point, Mike, we do have to have this adjustments conversation that is a huge Twitter narrative right now on Jason Garrett, don't we?
I'm the one that asked the question to Jerry Jones, as I'm sure all of America heard. Is this the time when you start questioning your personnel and start questioning the capability and competence of your coaching staff?
Good question.
I think it's absolutely a fair question when in the, quote, biggest game of the season at home with all the pomp and all the circumstance, you got the roof open for, what, only the 19th time ever. You've got a halftime Hall of Fame ceremony that features Jerry being honored and a whole bunch of Cowboy gold jackets. You've got the Eagles. I mean, the whole thing is set up in your biggest game of the year for you to at least play like it. And when you don't, it's not the two losses in a row that necessarily would bother me if I'm a fan of the Cowboys wondering about the competence of the coaching staff. It's the fact that you didn't show up for this one game. You get to lose at Atlanta. That gets to happen, but how do you not show up for this one day?
I think the Atlanta loss is the more angersome and surprising one to me, right? Isn't that? Do you feel the same way, Sean?
I mean, you didn't have. Maybe we should be changing our Maybe our expectations should be raised when you don't have your three best players. But in my opinion, I know this team well enough to where. Not even Mickey Fisher was going to predict a win for the Cowboys in this game.
What are you going to bring me up for?
It wasn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. If you're missing Tyron and Sean Lee, maybe our expectations should raise, Mike, on what they can do without those guys. But without them, we know they're toast. And then you throw Zeke into it as well. You're not going to win that game against arguably the best team in the NFL. I don't care if the roof's open, and I don't care if 92 champions were there or Hall of Fame jackets. They weren't going to win it.
And you didn't predict that they would win it, but I certainly didn't predict what you were going with, which is the Cowboys are going to lose by 20-plus,
yeah,
and you're dead on the money. But to lose by 20-plus,
yeah,
almost always, you have to at some point have played uninspired. You have to at some point have kind of decided, okay, that's enough's enough. You have to at some point have to conceded something to an opponent. And I think the Cowboys did all those things.
You think so they quit?
I would really want to talk to guys before I use that word, but They were not competitive with the Eagles. I guess my point is you can label Atlanta a fluke. Okay, that happens. It's a road game against a desperate team that was due to bust out at some points, because Atlanta's good enough to do that. But this one felt like not showing up.
Now let's get to the most important stuff. What do you think the injury status is for Sean Lee, Tyron, Dan Bailey, and how serious is the Anthony Hitchens injury for Thursday?
Well, and I really appreciate your what you're saying about, you know, how my job is different than Brian Broaddus's. And, you know, I have he's a good friend of mine, and I have so much respect for him. And one of the reasons I have – one of the reasons I show my respect, one of the ways is I don't pretend I'm a scout, as you note. But we do kind of report on what happens and why it happens. And yesterday, I don't know, 3 hours before the game or something, you got media people on Twitter saying, Tyron Smith is working out. Dan Bailey's kicking 50-yard field goals. Dudes, that's just part of your rehab. What are you doing? Tyron Smith was not playing in that game. He was scratched at 7:30 in the morning.
Right.
Or a little before that, the decision was made. Dan Bailey isn't kicking in that game. And so, you know, I'm going down this list, and I finally pointed out, I said, you know, Jeff Heath is out there loosening up and intercepting passes in drills, right? In an individual trainer drill. That's not preparation to play today. That's trying to get ready for another day. I think that Tyron Smith will continue to try to push to play on Thursday. I don't have any grand indication that all of a sudden Sean Lee's better, and we were told a week ago that he was going to miss for sure two games, and so this would be game number two. It's encouraging that Dan Bailey is looking like he's getting closer to playing, but again, with all due respect to him, you just said Mike Nugent was pretty much the only star-up player the whole game. So when you lose by 30 points, it's not like your kicker would have made a difference. Anthony Hitchens getting an MRI today on the groin, and now you're thin at that linebacker position. I'm assuming that's bad enough for Hitch that he probably doesn't play Thursday.
Jerry say anything after the game about all the off-the-field stuff?
He talked about wanting to hold the commissioner accountable. And that's kind of seems like just kind of an empty chestnut to me. I don't know what that means. I think we all think, as we mentioned yesterday on the pregame show, it still all boils down to a level of anger over feeling duped by the commissioner on what the Ezekiel Elliott plans were. I do think that Jerry is wise, by the way, and as he answered my question about on the field and off, to not go nuts 15 minutes after a horrible loss. That would have been the wrong place, frankly. I mean, I asked the two questions, but that would have been the wrong place, I think, to start firing wild machine gun shots of quotes into a crowd. He was in no mood for that, and as I said about the locker room, nobody else was in the mood to talk much either.
What about the racial story that came out late Friday?
Yeah, and I think you're really smart to use the word racial.
Well, because I stole it from you, so you get the props.
Yeah, there's such a difference between racist and racial. And the people that recognize the difference are the people that, I don't know, graduated fourth grade. And the people that don't, recognize the difference are almost, they're either ignorant or they're intentionally trying to stir things up. I really hesitate before I call you a murderer, a rapist, or a racist, because that kind of stuff sticks forever. I do know, though, that the anti-Jerry movement, I think the leaking of that basically wedding toast, that was from 2013. I don't think the weekend leaking of that is a coincidence. I think the timing of that might just be powered by another anti-Jerry person. All in all, what a horrible weekend for the Cowboys, who were so bad. Even Charles Manson couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, wow. Mike Fisher fired. At Fish Sports.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.